New to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is your place for honest answers.
Naturally Savvy.
With registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky.
And health journalist
Lisa Davis.
I'm Lisa Davis with Andrea Donsky. We're so glad you're listening to Naturally Savvy Podcast. And we're thrilled to have Guru Jagat, Invincible Living, The Power of Yoga, The Energy of Breath, and Other Tools for a Radiant Life. Guru, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you on the program. You know, on the back of your book, Alicia Keys, such a huge fan, she writes, after meeting Guru Jagat and becoming introduced to the technology of Kundalini Yoga, every part of me has become awakened. I thought the word technology was really interesting. What do you think she meant by that?
I know what she meant by it, because it's a word that I use all the time. This type of practice really works with the human operating system. And so technology, I think, is a much more appropriate word for it than even what most people think is yoga. Just what we kind of in the West experience as yoga, what we do with the Kundalini practices are much more kind of technological because we're working with your brain and your brain hemispheres and your endocrine system and your blood chemistry and your moods and your emotional spectrum and your command of your breath and all these kind of much more, you know, scientific or yogic scientific things.
So it sounds like it goes way beyond actual poses then. Like, give us a little bit of background on Kundalini Yoga.
Yeah, basically we're using the fingers, which we do, you know, mudras, different kind of shapes with the fingers that stimulate the brain. And then we're using breath, different types of breath work that stimulate all sorts of kind of functioning in the body, but particularly the endocrine system, secretions of the endocrine system. And in yogic science for thousands and thousands of years, the kind of yogis and practitioners and sages have been interested in the endocrine system as an entryway of longevity, of balance, of mental clarity, and also the evolution of humankind. So the endocrine system is a huge part of it. So we use breath to stimulate and balance the endocrine system, which then balances the hormonal system. And then we get a lot of metabolic shifting and a lot of kind of balancing out of things that people experience, particularly women, as they go through the cycles of aging and that kind of thing. So you'll experience breath work, mudra, and then we use a sound technology to kind of vibrationally change the body. So we're using sound, and then there are a lot of very physical body movements.
What are you doing to work with sound?
So sound, we use our own sound. So we're vibrating different kind of sound codes that help to kind of stimulate the system, literally, physically. You're vibrating into the hypothalamus and the thalamus and the pineal gland, the pituitary. It's actually a physical vibration through the sound.
Oh, that's so interesting. So this is something that's going on in a class then, or I'm assuming people can do this on their own, where they're taking, not only doing the poses, but also utilizing the sounds. And you mentioned the fingers earlier. Is this something that you, I'm assuming that you teach and you help others to learn?
Well, in my book, Invincible Living, part of my whole message is that you don't have to touch your toes, you don't have to wear spandex, you don't have to even be interested in that kind of fancy yoga, kind of pretzely postures to participate in the massive benefits of just the mind clearing and the nervous system strengthening and the balancing, and it can happen very quickly. And so I give every page is filled with practices that anybody could do sitting in their chair at work or waiting for their kids to, you know, get in the car after school, or they're very, very accessible to anyone of any age and any fitness level. And that's kind of my big message, that anyone can kind of get these great benefits.
Yeah, in the book, you do talk about different types of breaths and different mantras, and I like that. Talk to us a little bit about the mantra. You say, since every thought is a mantra, I check in regularly with the subconscious mantra in my head. If I don't like the direction, I supplement it with a more uplifting, creative mantra from yoga.
Yeah. You know, I think that one of the misnomers around meditative practice is that somehow the mind is going to go still or be quiet, and that is not true. No, it never does, and it's not going to. And so there's a constant dialogue of some sort of repetitive thought, which we could call a mantra, in our minds going all the time. And so instead of trying to eradicate that or change it, what we do is we give the mind nutrition, a higher quality sound that it can focus on. And so that can be victory is one of these mantras that we use a lot that's in English. There's, you know, kind of these sound, more like syllabic sounds, like sa, ta, na, ma. So as you go throughout your day, especially right now, everyone is really needing to try to keep their minds focused on positivity. It's definitely a really intense time on the planet, and I think, you know, having a tool where you can kind of redirect the power and the energy of the mind is very practical. So that's what the sounds do. You kind of, instead of trying to control what your mind is doing or control what you're thinking or, you know, be more positive or whatever everybody, you know, kind of talks about, this is an actual experience of, okay, this is, I'm going down a road that I'm not, this isn't going to lead me anywhere. I've already gone down this road many times before. So now I'm going to redirect it by using a sound like victory, or I do like happy, healthy, holy is in the book. So they don't always have to be, the mantras don't always have to be in some language you don't know. There's a lot of English mantras as well.
Oh, that's nice. Now, is this something where it's like meditation, where you need to take the time, try to start with 5 minutes a day and then work your way up? Or with the mantras, it sounds like it's just something you can do anytime and just kind of get yourself more grounded and on the right track.
Yeah, there's a big spectrum. Like if you're looking to kind of cultivate a meditation practice, which a lot of people are now, I give a lot of kind of small, very effective, efficient meditations. One of the things I love about Kundalini is that it's very fast, it's efficient. So we're not yogis in a cave meditating all day long. That's not, you know, we're all householders. And so all of the practices I give are very conducive to someone who works, someone who has children, someone who has a lot of responsibilities, someone who doesn't have a lot of time. So there's definitely the cultivation of some sort of meditative practice, which starts with a couple of minutes. And if you feel like you want to extend it, there's, of course, that as well. But also it's meditation in motion, because I don't believe that a meditation practice is actually productive unless you're applying it to your daily life when the shit starts to hit the fan. Like that's when your meditative practice becomes the most necessary.
Oh, I love that. I know, like if you're dealing with a tantrum or something's going on with your child,
exactly,
you don't want to get hooked in. You need to just like breathe. And my daughter and I are watching this, of all things, it sounds so corny, but we're watching this American Girl doll movie. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. But there was actually this good scene where this one girl said to the other one, you need to relax. I want you to breathe in blue skies and breathe out gray. And I was like, wow, I learned something from American Girl doll movie. I thought it was pretty good. And so now my daughter, when I see her getting stressed out, I'm like, breathe in that blue sky and, you know, breathe out that gray, because we are so busy and we are stressed out, and it's good in the moment. Of course, another thing that is good is sex. You have in chapter 9, sex is science. What do you mean by that?
Well, basically we're barely educated about any aspect of sex, and then we're just kind of fumbling through a dark room, you know, as teenagers trying to figure it out. And, as well as relationship, you know, both things are not really a place where we get a lot of real education. And so the yogis have, and people, you know, anybody interested in higher consciousness have for thousands of years, used sex as a way to create more love, more harmony, more consciousness on the planet, rather than just, Yogi Bhajan, my teacher, called it the mop and bucket sex. And that's not sex, you know, that's just basically a physical act, but that there's so much more to sex, and there's a technology to sex, and there's a science to sex, and there's a science to the fulfillment that deep sex can create in our lives. And so I talk a lot about, you know, what true orgasm is, and what, how, when you open the energy in your system, how it can reverberate with you, especially as women, deep, beautiful, real sex can reverberate in us for 7 years. That's like real sex. So that's, you know, I wish for everyone that kind of sex. So this is you know, I'm gonna write a whole book on sex, but this was just a little cliff notes for some practices that will help you to kind of open up to a deeper part of yourself.
You know, earlier in the interview, you mentioned the endocrine system. Talk to us about what that is, if people aren't familiar. And then you have something, emotional endocrinology. What is that as well?
So the endocrine system is the system is also called the glandular system. So it's the system of glands. And I think a lot of people are familiar these days with this term, adrenal fatigue. The adrenals are a major part of the endocrine system. Obviously, there's an epidemic of thyroid issues, particularly in women in the West, and that's not a coincidence. There's, you know, the stress, and a lot of the ways that modern life is happening is definitely shutting down women's thyroids, particularly, but in men as well. So we, in yoga, in Kundalini yoga, we say that the glands are the guardians of your health. And so we always are working with and lubricating and activating and revitalizing the glands. They did this science research where they took the pineal glands out of young rats and they put them in the old rats, and then they put the old pineal glands into the young rats. The young rats died within a day, and the old rats were experiencing a major de-aging. And this is one of these kind of, So a lot of the aging process sits in the way that the glands secrete and how kind of lubricated they are, which is also kind of the high-fat diets that are the good fat, high-fat diets that are kind of now sweeping all the rage, sweeping the planet. Yep. That is very helpful in the lubrication of the nervous system and the glands, but also a lot of the pranayams and little practices that we do in Kundalini yoga spark glandular health. And you literally can take off years. It's pretty profound, and we have the proof in the pudding. The people who are practicing on a daily basis, even just a little bit, are just looking younger and younger, and the skin gets, you know, glows, and the blood chemistry balances, so the liver is functioning better, and so you just get all these kind of anti-aging properties. So it's very, I say that to just motivate people, because we all want to look better and feel better, but it's very palpable.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking in the book, too, and you've got some different postures. But so much of the book isn't about postures, right? Which is interesting, because I think when I first got the book, I thought, oh, okay, so there is going to be like a regular yoga book where you're going to have all these different, the flow. So there's so much more to it, it sounds like. And if you're looking for a workout, you know, I'm using the quotes, and you want to get sweaty and build your muscle, it doesn't sound like this is what this is for. That's more like the what is that one where you sweat a lot in that hot room? The hot yoga.
That one.
Brickham, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Bikram.
Thank you.
this book is particularly, I wrote it so that anybody could access it, but Kundalini yoga is very cardiovascular. It's very fitness oriented, if that's what you're looking for. I think a lot of people are burnt out on the fitness scene in terms of, what's happening in the fitness scene is that our cortisol levels as a society are through the roof. And then you add heavy duty exercise to it. And instead of it actually, kind of taking the stress levels down, people are finding, and this is why people are having plateaus and issues losing weight, even when they're exercising a lot and eating, quote unquote, right. Because cortisol levels are just at a new skyrocketing in our species right now. So one of the intelligent things about Kundalini yoga is that we move, we get stronger, a lot of core work, a lot of cardiovascular work. However, it's also very replenishing for the adrenals, and it does decrease cortisol levels. And so you get, you know, kind of the water retention clears. And so a lot of people lose a lot of weight when they're doing Kundalini yoga. So if you're looking for that kind of fitness, we have it. Just, you know, the book are more exercises you could do anywhere without having a certain kind of fitness level.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, speaking of the adrenals, I had adrenal fatigue about 10 years ago, and I remember the practitioner telling me that I should not do very heavy exercise.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I've been doing Pilates, although I have to tell you, the workout yesterday was hard. My legs are sore.
Good.
And I'm guessing, yeah, see, I think that's okay, though, right? Because it's sort of like you use muscles that you're not used to working. And
yeah.
You're really getting me interested. I definitely want to try Kundalini. I was combining yogas. Kundalini, I can't say it. I've done Iyengar when I was growing up, and I think I've done Hatha. I haven't tried the Bikram because I don't like being hot. But this one sounds really good. Andrea, have you tried it before?
Oh, I used to do Bikram all the time and actually do Moksha now. I love hot yoga.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's interesting. Well, the time goes by so fast. Guru, was there anything else you wanted to add today?
Well, if you guys want to check out what a Kundalini yoga experience is like, you can go onto my online platform, rama-tv.com, and there's all sorts of practices that we've put up. My class goes up every day, broadcast to 200 countries, and it's an exciting place. There's lots of free content, so you can go on there and check some stuff out.
Oh, that sounds so great.
Well, thank you for being on our show today. We also want to thank our sponsor at NeoCell. If you want to learn more about NeoCell, anti-aging, and collagen, visit NeoCell.com. I'm Andrew Donsky, along with Lisa Davis, and you're listening to Naturally Savvy Radio. Like us on all social media platforms at Naturally Savvy, at Andrea Donsky, at Radio MD, and at Health Media Gal 1. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.